Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. This is Genuinely Grace. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a heck of a week. I'm exhausted. It was our first birthday in the Sober Club, and it was just great. So thank you for all of those of you who joined us for our online celebrations. Obviously, we couldn't meet up, but we had such fun online. So lucky that the lovely Claire Pooley joined us. Claire Pooley, author of The Sober Diaries, and now, of course, the excellent new novel, The Authenticity Project, which is doing fantastically well. Claire joined us and did a little session for us, which was just great. We had an angel expert, Bev Densham, doing a meditation for us. And then we had another session in the evening, and we had Joe Soley, who was doing this fantastic thing about how we can find our personal life path number, based around numerology. So we had a really good, time. So, and thank you to, everyone who sent me messages of goodwill and happy birthday messages for the Sober Club. It's been great. So we are open. The Sober Club is open if you were thinking of getting yourself some connection. But we will be closing at the end of next week. So by the time the next podcast comes out, we're going to close the doors for a bit. So we've got a bunch of new members, and we're going to bring in some new features and do a little bit of just great stuff for our members. So if you do want to get in, don't miss the opportunity. And as I've said many times before, the Sober Club is a full member portal of information and resources. I'm lucky enough to have some amazing experts who have contributed their time and expertise across a whole range of stuff. So literally everything about kind of living your best life is there. And in addition to the member portal, there's an online course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze, that's included. And also, of course, our community, our private group, where a lot of the magic happens. So it's all of that stuff for a very small cost. And that's where you'll find the connection and the community and the inspiration and the encouragement and all of that stuff. So you know where to go, thesoberclub.com. So that's my little plug. I won't be doing it again because we're closing. So we'll get straight to the main business of the podcast. And I'm so pleased that this week we're talking events. Now, as you know, I'm hosting my event at Champneys. I am hoping beyond hope that with the new regulations, we're still good to go ahead because, it's an educational event and everything's done within COVID guidelines at a place like Champneys, of course. It's a very small group. And if you did want to come, you're very welcome. Please check it out. If you go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, you'll find the information there. It's the 3rd and 4th of October. And I'm just crossing my fingers that we're all still going ahead because it's going to be amazing to be able to teach some of the stuff that we do around mindset and all of that stuff. And we do a yoga nidra relaxation, which is great as well. So if you can join us for that, that would be great. But before that, I'm going to be speaking at an event called Wonderment. And I was thinking about this, telling you about speaking at this event. And then I thought, you know what, why don't I just invite the main man onto the podcast, because Chris Fitchew is, as you will find out, just such a fabulous character. I absolutely love working with Chris. So I'll let him tell you all about the event. My guest is Chris Fitchew, who is creative director, founder of Wonderment Wellbeing House. Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Janie Lee Gray. I love saying your name, by the way, Janie Lee Gray. I can't just say one or part of it. It's the whole thing. Thank you for having me on.
It's lovely to chat to you. So let's just share for listeners where we first met, because you kind of rang me up and we had a really good chat and we thought, oh, we're going to like each other.
Exactly. I mean, it was one of those times, we just kind of started a weekly event, Wonderment Wednesdays at the Arboretum Members Club, which sadly is no more, but we were tasked to put a load of wellbeing events on there. And we really did want to cover all elements of wellbeing, from meditation and yoga to fitness and health and diet. And of course, a great friend of mine had gone to one of your beautiful talks, and he was so inspired, and he said, "You must have a look at this lady." And of course, I knew you from the radio, but I didn't realize all of the great work you were doing with Sober Club and everything you do as a great advocate, for keeping people's vibration high by avoiding the dark stuff.
Yeah. So then I came and did some speaking stuff for you. I think it was just before my TEDx talk, actually. So that was fun. In fact, I think I practiced my TEDx talk at your event, which was great.
It was great. And that was fun. Thumbs up all around.
Yeah. That was good, because you feel very nervous before those things. But so tell me that about your experience with all of that then. Because I think when we first met, you know, you were sort of saying to me, "God, it's only kind of recently that I've even kind of really thought about this." So particularly with your, you know, with your sort of background in all the spiritual stuff you do, I've often said on the podcast that I still to this day think it's quite fascinating that I was so steeped in holistic living. I mean, queen of goddamn holistic living. There wasn't anything that you could kind of get past me that I wasn't across, you know, when it came to chemicals and spirituality and everything. And yet there was this bloody great big elephant in the room of the alcohol that somehow it didn't count, you know. And so I'm always interested when I speak to people who have been steeped in the spirituality piece for so long as to where the alcohol sort of fits in.
It's a really interesting conversation, and it's one that I go back and forth on in my own journey. And, you know, I think it's about the individual sort of approach to it. You know, similar sort of background to you. I mean, I am from a world of theatre and comedy, and then went into event production, where we did phenomenal events at places like Home House, Members Club, you know, performing around the world with some theatre shows that I put together. I was on the comedy circuit. I was doing Edinburgh every year. And, you know, I think it was when I got to sort of early 30s, and I was like, "I'm not okay," you know, and I really had to work on myself, restore balance, and like you say, begin the spiritual journey, which always begins when you hit a point of breaking, when you're like, "I can't carry on like this." And so, similar to you, I started doing all sorts of you know, self-mastery and self-help things. Everything from going to the Peruvian Amazon jungle to work with plant medicine. I went to see John of God in Brazil. I worked with Amma, I did Reiki. I, you know, looking at my diet, looking at everything. And yeah, similar to you, I carried on drinking as I was, because it's like, you just don't really want to admit, like you say, that that's the friend that you've made friends with for so many years. Mm. As often a crutch to get through the madness of events and comedy and coming off a comedy show and having that rock star sort of adrenaline going and like, "Oh, I must carry on." And, you know, and I had to really, you know, watch that and create all of these tools around, you know, my own sort of physical and mental sanity. Mm. And then, yeah, like a similar story to you where, you know, I would then, you know, have like 6 months off everything, you know, and going down that kind of like, you know, on my own abstinence and, you know, succeeding, but then it'd creep back in and, you know, and then I'd go, you know, sort of pause again. And, you know, even the last few years, you know, I'm not going to lie, you know, I've dipped in and out of sobriety and I've tried all sorts, from, you know, the meetings to reading your literature and following people like you that is on this sort of same vibe as me of why it's not good to drink alcohol, not only for the sort of physical benefits, but also when we are working on our spiritual system to try and keep our vibration as high as possible and not lower it with, you know, sort of toxins and stuff. So, you know, it's an ongoing journey for me. You know, I'm not going to lie, throughout lockdown, I had, you know, Malbec moments. And then you sort of like come out of it again. And, you know, and that's my struggle, my journey, but also, you know, it's yin and yang, isn't it? And sometimes the more spiritual what you do, sometimes what goes up has to come down a bit to destroy, and so creation can comes out of that.
I love your honesty, and you're so true. And I think it's just a really interesting, it's a conversation I haven't fully explored, but I get more and more interested in how, you know, you mentioned the phrase, you know, when you drink alcohol, it does genuinely lower your vibration. So it's really interesting, isn't it, that people who are quite spiritual and going into meditation, that so many people still drink. I'm not passing any judgment here, because trust me, I've been there. I've been there, got all the t-shirts. I think it needs more exploration, I think. I really think it does.
And it's why I've always sort of celebrated your work and included it in our program, whether it be like the talk at Home House, for example, or Arboretum, or, you know, the very successful talk you did last year at Wunderman in these very woods. You know, the events we run, the retreats we run, are no alcohol retreats.
Mm.
But, you know, and a lot of people come here and they're like, oh, what for the whole weekend? And I'm like, guys, look, we don't like to put a restriction or a sort of, you know, a sanction on people, because it does make people panic, you know, and we don't do that. But what we do say is like, right, we have the most beautiful plant spirit cocktails made out of botanical alchemy from Sense of Spirits that create these beautiful drinks, one called Love, one called Power, one called Joy. And they do what alcohol does. Vanessa, who's like looked into all this and done years of scientific research and noticed that values of what alcohol is supposed to do, or what they want you to think it does, as in, you know, make you more sociable, or give you energy, or make you more fluid and you know, and open, actually can be done with plants. And that's why they've created these amazing cocktails. So every time anyone comes to our events, we offer a free cocktail on arrival with, and they're beautiful, and you do feel it. You do feel like your heart opens with love. You do feel sprightly with joy. You do feel energetic with power. And then you find that people don't touch the alcohol. You know, even if they bought a sneaky bottle of wine, they just don't. And it really is so that when they're here at the events, they are clear-headed, vibrating in a way that can take on all the work that is put forward to them, i.e., you know, like you say, the morning meditations, or the energy for yoga, or, you know, the connection to self with breath work. And we really do see the difference, you know, like compared to other events where they might have the blurred line and then people aren't waking up in the morning for the activities. They're not clear headed to be able to, you know, listen to the talks and get inspired.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to talk more about Wunderman in a moment. It's super exciting that it's going to happen. But just before we do that, I'm really interested in your view as well on, you know, you mentioned sort of drinking over lockdown. I think it's been an unbelievably difficult time for a lot of people. I've had a lot of sober club members who have joined when they've sort of realized, oh my God, this has to change. You know, I've been drinking too much. And there's been other people who had ditched the booze and went back to it. And, you know, it's just been a mess, really, for a lot of people in terms of their mental health and well-being. So I'd just be really interested in your view on that, really. Is there anything you want to say to people who have really felt, not necessarily related to alcohol, but just mental health issues generally, people who are just really feel that they're struggling after, you know, all of these months of this stuff, you know, kind of messing with your head?
Yeah, so it was interesting, really, because we were doing all of our events live in London and beyond, you know, beginning of January, beginning of the year. And Jess and I, my business partner at Wunderman, we recognized straight away, as soon as we saw lockdown coming, we were like, we have to put all of our events that we used to do face-to-face online.
Yeah.
So before lockdown happened, we began a series of online community, which we called Operation Lovedown, to try and, you know, spin what was to come.
Yeah.
And it was a community where people could come, check in, Monday nights we did a really cool cookery show, vegan cookery show called Ready Veggie Cook. Wednesday nights we had talks and practitioners come on and do their workshops. Friday we had Joy Box, which was about bringing joy and fun, a cabaret with some beautiful, amazing performers. And Sunday, the physical yoga. And we were able to kind of really watch what was going on with the nation to tailor, especially the Wednesday evening events. Mm. So at the beginning, everybody were really, really struggling. So we did a lot on mental health, a lot on anxiety release and, you know, controlling any fear that was coming in from the media, from, you know, the statistics that were mounting every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then towards the middle, we tailored it a little bit more to things like a grief workshop, which was amazing, which is about releasing grief, which not necessarily anyone that people may have lost, God forbid, during the pandemic or before, but also grieving, you know, our old life.
Yeah, absolutely. Grieving a loss of a job or you know, friends and relatives. Absolutely. That you can't see. Yeah.
And human beings really need, you know, physically and metaphysically and biologically need to be around other humans. And yes, we did what we can on Zoom and we all are doing our bit, like your great podcast such as this. But ultimately, when people can't meet up and feel the biorhythms and the resonance and the frequencies of other humans, people start to really suffer. I mean, we've seen a lot of our, you know, people say to us things like, if it wasn't for these online events that you did, we don't know where we'd be.
Yeah.
Even knowing that they were on, if people couldn't have come to them, they were still saying, just knowing that they were there just makes me feel like there's a community still going on.
Feel that connection.
And it's all about community and connection. Mm. And, you know, I think the other thing is, you know, some people have been very lucky, had the chance to be locked down with their loved ones, with their families. I was extremely lucky. I went straight home to Derbyshire to hang with my family and stayed there. And I was in the countryside and I had the ability to go into nature and I was around my people. But a lot of people were on their own in flats with not even a balcony and not connected to nature or people. And I just believe, you know, this year, it's the year of getting through it.
Yeah.
And, you know, people have turned to crutches. They have turned to, you know, things that might not keep them, you know, in a good place. But sometimes as humans, we, like I said before about my journey, sometimes we have to destroy to create. And and hopefully if everyone keeps hold of the fact that what goes down will come up and what goes crazy will restore and what is chaotic will become into balance, you know, keep the faith and surrender to the global picture and the macro, whilst always remembering to focus on the micro, like your own self, your own heart, the people around you, and then the sort of, you know, the tribe that surrounds you, and just keep chatting and keep talking and keep vibing and keep listening to like things like this and reading and trying to get into nature, you know, and that's,
Definitely.
That's really why we sort of carried on really as a sort of beacon with Wonderman.
I mean, you talk about this healing power of nature. You it's so true. It really is so true. So tell us about the festival then, for anyone who hasn't heard about it before at all. You know, tell us everything, especially about the gorgeous surroundings of the woodland.
So it's really interesting. You know, we set up Wonderman Retreat Festival, and we called it a retreat festival because it's a retreat in nature with a full program of events, workshops and classes with professional qualified well-being and wellness teachers and instructors, from breath work to yoga to mindfulness to talks after dinner. And it's, you know, it was set up really to enable people from the cities, but everyone's welcome, but it's very popular with especially like people who are working, you know, in London or Brighton or Bristol and really need to sort of plug out of that city life and all of that stimulation and recollaborate and re-energize in nature and detox. We always do it just before autumn equinox, which we know is all about balance, you know, sort of reconfiguring from, you know, ordinarily what might be a very difficult and a very busy and maybe toxic summer of, you know, parties or, you know, weddings or festivals. and actually coming here just before autumn equinox to, you know, be ready for the winter. A lot of manifestation goes on, a lot of incantations and forward thinking goes on. And so, you know, that's the ethos. And obviously we did all of our online program. We've set up to start the 17th, the 20th of September. And, you know, we've had to work really hard with the venue, with the local government, with Public Health England, to make sure that everything, especially this year, is all with COVID safety measures in place. Mm. So what we've done is like completely created a sound COVID-19 risk assessments. We've installed extra equipment and extra spacing, and all of our tents and structures are all open-sided. You know, we will, having sanitized toilets and showers, we'll be doing temperature tech checks on arrival. So, you know, this is an educational retreat. We'll be doing classes and workshops. You know, obviously the news yesterday alarmed a lot of people when they were saying no social groups above six. Mm. Now, that doesn't apply for yoga studios, gyms, educational venues, campsites, and mainly professional outlets and professional licensed venues and businesses, which Wunderment Group is, Wasting Park is. And so, you know, it's all completely above board in the sense of we've done everything we can in our power to make it go ahead, because our main reason is we feel as a you know, as Wunderment Group and all the participants and teachers and contributors that are involved and the guests, that we really need to do this. We really need to continue the fight to allow human beings in a very controlled and professional manner to unite, especially in nature.
Yeah.
Especially where
tell us a little bit about the venue, actually, because explain exactly where it is.
Yeah, so it's Berkshire. It's about half an hour from Reading. It's 1 hour from Paddington train station, about an hour and a half in the car from London. And, you know, it's in a beautiful estate called Wasting Park. That's got everything here. Our area that we're working in is a beautiful woodland glade. I mean, I'm actually here now, so for anyone who's looking at the
gorgeous.
So there's the woodland glade, and then we have like a lake to swim in. We have, you know, paddocks and fields and woodland walks where Tansy Jane Dowman will be doing forest bathing and guided walks. We're keeping everyone in the 6-person bubble to do that extra mile to make sure that, you know, we're doing the right thing for our guests and government guidelines. And yeah, so, you know, it's a beautiful setting. We've got, we've basically sort of made the retreat a lot more retreat than festival. Obviously, the festival element was only ever put in because we wanted the retreat to be light and fun and, you know, sort of during dinner have some nice entertainment, like acoustic guitar. We've got the amazing Rosa Lee. And just to have that, you know, festival vibe, and, you know, we'll be going to be decorating this whole place and making it really, really pretty and just a really safe, nice, inspiring place for people to do their work.
Yeah, great. Well, I'm looking forward to speaking there. And yeah, I really hope it goes phenomenally well. Do you want to just give us the website then for anyone who's interested, Chris?
Yeah, so we're www.wonderment-retreat-festival.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time. It's so lovely to chat to you. Can't wait to see you.
We cannot wait for you to be here to bring your wisdom and joy and insight and intel and passion. So yeah, if anybody does have any questions, there's an email and phone number on that website. If anyone is worried about the guidelines or, you know, the protocol, everything's all marked out there on our COVID section on the website, as is, you know, all details of the content. Yeah, so
excellent.
United we stand and shall we rise.
Love it. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you so much, Janie.
Thank you, Chris. Look forward to seeing some of you at the Wunderment Retreat. And again, just another mention for my Champneys retreat, Self-Care and Sobriety, which is October 3rd and 4th at Champneys in Tring.
if you go to the soberclub.com and click on events, you'll find it there. It was good to hear Chris talk so much there about spirituality and about, you know, making time for meditation and all of these things that I touch on a fair bit in the podcast. And it's been interesting, actually, because in the Sober Club, you know, we've I think I mentioned that we had we did a meditation with an angel expert. And obviously, when I do things like that, I sometimes preempt that with saying to people, look, you know, this might feel a bit woo woo for you at first. This might not be the kind of stuff that you normally do. But what I've found quite interesting is that when you're drinking too much, it obviously it numbs everything. We know that. But it also takes the edge off that kind of consciousness. So you feel kind of, it's really difficult to describe, but I think, certainly for me, I'm talking about my own experience, really. I didn't feel kind of connected. So when I heard people talk about meditating and spirituality, although I kind of knew all the theory, in fact, you know, I was really steeped in it. I was interviewing authors for Hay House Radio the whole time. And I really did know all the theory and the logic, but it wasn't true for me. And the reason it didn't feel true for me was because I wasn't being authentic. There was this massive, you know, thing that I wasn't addressing, which of course was my drinking. And so it really wasn't until I could be released from that I started to get it, really, and really sort of begin to understand, actually, hold on, you do need some time to be present. I don't know if you heard last week's podcast with Jessica Huey. She was fantastic. And I love the fact that she was talking about when she finally stopped. She was literally frantic. And when she finally stopped and she became agendaless, there actually wasn't anything happening, because in her case, she was caring for her father who was ill. But for the very first time in many, many years, she became present. And she talks about that and says that through being present, that's how she was transformed. Literally, the transformation came out of being fully present. And it's something that many of us, when we're drinking, we can't do that because we're always chasing, always, you know, running, chasing, trying to get the next drink, trying to think about the next, you know, this thinking about drinking thing. We're never actually fully present when we're reading our kids a bedtime story or whatever. We're actually thinking, well, when can I finish that sentence and get to have the wine? I'm speaking for myself, of course. And when we used to book a trip might have been that we were going to the cinema, but I would be planning, let's arrive early so that I can grab a glass of wine first. You know, everything revolved around drinking, even though we didn't sort of realise it at the time. And so, of course, you're not going to have the headspace for actually being fully present to sit with who you really are, because that's uncomfortable, right? When you're drinking, it's really uncomfortable. I mean, it can be uncomfortable at the best of times, but when you're not authentic with who you really are, it can really nag away at you. And of course, I now know that's what I had going on for years, which was a large part of the anxiety that I felt. I do think it's fascinating how so many people, when they've ditched the booze, they become a bit more open, really, even if they weren't before. They become a bit more open to looking into things that are a bit more spiritual, even if they find it a bit odd at first. And yeah, I'm absolutely not judgmental at all. I'm also not forcing, you know, complete meditation sessions onto everybody, not for a moment. But I just think it's this consciousness, really, isn't it? And we've got nothing to lose if we just focus on being fully present and conscious. Just one little tip for you if you're struggling. I can't even remember how this came about, but I was just having a conversation with a Sober Club member, and we just came up with this concept, really, that what we need to do is to bring in the pause. It kind of relates to what we've just been talking about. But just bring back the pause into your life. So every time you have that thought, oh, I'm desperate for a drink. Oh, I need that drink now. Oh, I'll start tomorrow. Just pause. Just pause and breathe and ask yourself, why? Why am I thinking that way? What's actually going on? What's really going on behind this? Is it actually that I really desperately need a drink? Some of you may have heard me speaking on BBC Sussex and Surrey. I did a thing on the evening show with Nikki Patrick. In fact, I'm doing it most weekends, most Sunday nights. And last weekend, we were talking about
The HALT acronym, and I've mentioned it many times before, and of course it's very well known. HALT stands for Hungry, Angry, Lonely, Tired. And when you get these cravings to drink, if you're in the process of trying to ditch the booze, but your thoughts are raging, just pause and ask yourself, is it actually that I'm hungry? Would just a snack do the trick? Because often we do confuse wanting a drink of alcohol for hunger or for wanting something sweet in our lives. And of course, I'm not going to get into the whole sugar addiction thing right now, but you know what I'm saying. Grab yourself a healthy snack. Is it that you're angry? Are you just really fed up with somebody? That can often be a trigger for wanting to drink. Are you lonely? In which case, get some connection. Absolutely find like-minded people. Because loneliness isn't necessarily just being on your own. It can be that you feel lonely in that you feel that you're the only person thinking the way you're thinking. And that's a very awkward place to be, because if you feel you can't speak your truth, it's exhausting. And are you tired, finally? And of course, taking to your bed is going to be one of the most important things in your sober toolkit in the first few weeks. So that's my top tip, is pause and just be present and just ask yourself those really, those questions that dig deep. Be a little bit of an investigative journalist on your own thoughts and your own mindset. Check out the Sober Club. Do join us if you would like to, if you feel that you would benefit from that. It doesn't matter whether you're sober curious, whether you're day one, whether you're months in, whether you're years in, because we focus on very much on the bigger picture, the holistic picture, the what's next. And there's absolutely no judgment in anything that we do. Have yourself a great week. Please do follow me on social media. Please reach out if you've got any suggestions for guests or if there's anything going on with you. It's a fantastic idea to tell somebody what you're doing. If you don't want to join a group or connect with other people, just at least drop me or anyone else a message and say, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm taking this step, because it kind of makes a commitment. It holds you accountable. And I will look forward to seeing you same time next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.